podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever in the world you are. This is David Sammel with a special sode.
Hello, everybody. I'm very pleased to welcome back David Sammel. It's been a few weeks. I think the last time we spoke was during the French Open, but the two slams do follow each other pretty quickly. And David is at Wimbledon. Before we get into the match on Monday and also the match against Casper, which I don't want to say when it is because I don't know when it's going to be because of course, the weather. How difficult is this spot that you're in as a coach, but also Liam as a player? Not kind of knowing exactly what's going to happen. We're in the lap of the gods with the weather and also, so he's going to play Casper, but there's obviously he was probably hoping to play at some point today, but we now know it's going to be tomorrow, right?
We hope it's going to be tomorrow. It's not 100% guaranteed that it's tomorrow because, I mean, right now the weather seems to be holding off. So it should be tomorrow, but if they don't get through a lot of matches, I mean, they're still... you know, first rounds from Monday to clear out, there's an outside chance that he doesn't play tomorrow. Liam's been around a while, and I think we're in a good place where we can stay relaxed about it. I don't think he feels like he needs to practice hours or on end or, you know, that he needs to do anything special. And I think as the coach, you just got to be very relaxed about these days. I mean, he comes, does his stuff, and then gets out of here. So he doesn't spend too much time at the club. Because that can be very, very tiring. You don't realize how tiring that is. And you can see, you know, young players when it's the first time they're here, they're very excited and they walk around a lot and they talk a lot and they see a lot of people. And by the time they get on the court, you know, there's not that much energy left. But you know, they all learn with experience that you just cannot be spending hours and hours around here and then perform well on court.
Let's talk about Monday. Sadly, I didn't get to see it because I was hoping to get in, but of course, the queue was a bit of a mess on Monday, and unfortunately, thousands of people couldn't really get in to see the tennis. Of course, it was rain interrupted as well. But actually, for you as a coach, but also Liam as a player, you told me that one of the things that was, apart from just the win, the conditions were a little tricky, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, the wind was very tricky. You know, the sun would come out a little bit and then, you know, then it would feel like it's about to rain again. And so it was blustery. And that makes it hard to get any rhythm when you play. And, of course, playing Lestien, who, you know, likes his slice, likes his drop shots, you know, injects pace, then he hits high. And he's a very awkward guy to play against, which is why he's done so well, because he mixes pace and he mixes spin very, very well. I think Liam started extremely well, and especially when he was put under pressure, he was able to defend with some real pace. I think that shocked Lestien, and in the first set, I think Lestien was basically in a bit of shock at the pace that Liam put towards him and how much he came at him. And that sort of set the tone for the match. Third set got a little tricky. Liam was up a break and dropped serve. And I got a little uncomfortable then for sure. Because, you know, Mannarino, he is up a set and a break and dropped that break and then, you know, went on to lose that match. And, you know, there's another couple of breaks in that set as well. So it got a little bit hairy. But luckily, he was able to break and come through it and not go to a tiebreaker, which again is a bit of a lottery. So, you know, it's always a real relief to win any match here in three straight sets. And Liam's not done that before. So that an added bonus.
But I felt the same, David, when he ceded that advantage in the third set. You're thinking, you know, suddenly, you know, you're into a tiebreaker and it's, you know, it's a bit of a lottery, of course. And suddenly, before you know it, a straight set's sort of comfortable victory is now going to be a fight. But fortunately, that didn't happen because Liam then managed to break again. Having got broken, you're thinking, oh no, here we go into a tiebreak, especially bearing in mind it was like 5-all, I think, or 4-all.
Yeah.
And then, but then he got the break again, right?
Yes, yes. And yeah, I mean, it coincided in this match, which was a little bit different from the EMA matches, is Liam played well when he needed to. And maybe Lestien dropped off a little bit when it got really tight. Whereas when he played EMA and Eastbourne, EMA played really well when he needed to. And Liam made a few errors when it was really important not to. So it was almost like a mirror image the other way around. And luckily, for this time, it was in Liam's favor. Because momentum is a strange thing in tennis. And if you lose that third set and the guy, you know, gets up an early break in the fourth, then it doesn't take that much to suddenly be in a fifth set. And
exactly.
That's why, you know, the margins are so small. It's you can never ever relax in this game.
Absolutely. It reminds me, David, of Michael Stich. I spoke to him last week about his Wimbledon win. And in the final, he had a match point on Becker's serve. And he's thinking, I want to take this. I want to take it now because, you know, you stay on serve, you're suddenly maybe in a tie break, you lose that. And then, you know, people are talking about, you know, Becker's remarkable comeback potentially. And you don't want that risk to occur. Yeah. I also want to talk to you a little bit about Liam's form going into the tournament, because actually him being up a set and a break against Mannarino, I mean, many of us left or look at the Queen's tournament and go, wow, Mannarino, he's had a great tournament. He could be someone that we could be seeing go deep at Wimbledon, blah, blah, blah. But Liam was up a set and a break against him. And then, of course, he has the disappointment.
And with a point for double break.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, he missed a half volley to go 3-love.
Okay.
And if he'd done that, he would have won that match. I mean, I think he would have won in straight sets.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Queens was, you know, I think a turning point. Liam had not played well on the grass up until Queens. Obviously, in doubles he had done, but in singles he just hadn't quite gotten going. And in the Mannarino match, one of the things I said to him right after that match is, you put that level on the court, and you'll win matches. You know, things can happen. Because it was a good level, but because he hadn't been winning, I think he just got a little bit nervous and wasn't able to quite put it over the line. And of course, Mannarino isn't easy to put over the line either, because he's on grass, he's particularly difficult. So, you know, that match was potentially the start of a really good run. Didn't happen, and hopefully here, you know, winning that match is the start of a run here. I mean, obviously he's got Casper Ruud, who's 4 in the world, but I feel, you know, on the grass that it's everything to play for, really. And it'll be interesting to see, I suppose, in a way, curious to see how Casper Ruud's game stacks up against Liam. Because, you know, you never quite know until you get out on the court. You know, watching someone and watching video and stuff like that is, and even watching them live against somebody else is not necessarily always the picture that you're going to see when you actually play against them.
Different players, David, entirely. But if this match was on clay, we probably have different expectations, certainly the watching audience, but also the media as well. But I'm also thinking Diego Schwartzman as well, former top 10 player, huge threat on clay. And yet that was somebody that Liam managed to beat in 5 sets. I think it was last year.
Yes.
Is there a sort of a similar feeling going into this Casper match that if this was on clay or maybe even a hard court, this would be a tall order? But here we are. We're in the second round at Wimbledon. Liam's just had a very good straight sets win. Casper came through, albeit I think he dropped a set. But it's on grass, which maybe levels the playing field a little bit in terms of where Liam's at on grass and Casper's on grass.
Definitely. I'm very comfortable going into this match and feel that it's a match that Liam definitely can win, and that it's, you know, an awkward match for for Casper. And I agree. I mean, if it was on clay, I think you'd be looking at a real uphill battle. On hard court, I'd still feel like Liam has a shot, and definitely on grass, for sure. I mean, Liam is a pretty experienced campaigner now on grass and has, you know, good pedigree here. But at the end of the day, you know, it's on the day you have to see what Casper Ruud brings to the court as well. It's not just what Liam brings to the court.
I mean, what we do know from Casper is what he will bring is an incredible forehand, and one that we see extremely potent, especially on the clay surface, and the amount of top spin he gets. Is that something that you talk to Liam about, you know, whether it be Casper's forehand, or whether it be, I don't know, other players, you know, Medvedev and serve and volley tactic against him, perhaps, or other players? Do you and Liam have these kind of discussions, or do you probably focus a bit more on Liam's game?
Focus a little bit more on Liam's game, but definitely I will collect the stats and look at things, and then I will paint a picture for Liam that says, look, you know, this is what he does well, this is what you do well, and if you execute certain things well, which I'm not going to say here, that's going to be very awkward for him, and give him, you know, just a couple of things to really focus on that's going to make it awkward for Casper. And then you just wait and see, you know, what happens. Because, I mean, tennis matches take a life of their own. And the good thing about five sets, if you start poorly, you've got time to recover. You know, if you start really well and then you lose your way a little bit, you can always find it again. And you start well and keep going, then, you can win a really tough match in straight sets. I mean, it can be really, really horrible, tough points, really difficult. And work really, really hard to win in straight sets. You know, I'd say straight sets is not straightforward.
Good. When it comes to something like the forehand, that is such a powerful weapon from Casper, is it maybe slightly less potent on the grass, or how does that work? I mean, I'm also thinking of other people that have got demon forehands, particularly on the clay with all these revolutions. But do the revolutions and the topspin, are they a little bit less effective on grass?
Well, the good thing is the ball doesn't get up as much.
Exactly.
So it's easier to lean onto the pace. So if the ball's fizzing through and you know, if it gets up around shoulder height, it's quite heavy and hard to play.
Yeah,
and you maybe feel like you either have to take it a bit earlier, which means the feet have to, you know, work very, very hard to take it before it gets up, or retreat. And if you retreat, then you know, obviously you're giving away real estate, which is not a great thing either. So I'd say the good thing on the grass is because the ball's not getting up so high, you know, especially on Liam's backhand, he can lean on that pace and deflect it back quite easily. That definitely would be very, very helpful. And when he goes, you know, big inside out forehand, it's going to Liam's forehand. And if Liam stays brave, and Liam can hit some serious pace off his forehand now as well. So, you know, he's going to have to, and you know, I've said to Liam, he's going to have to be brave to win this match.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you highlighting that cross court as well, I'm also thinking of the fact, of course, Liam is left-handed. Sometimes I forget that, but that's something to consider as well. What worked well, do you think, against Lestian from Liam's perspective?
He returned very well. He returned very deep, which made it Lestian, unless he served very well, was working hard to hold serve all the time. So he returned with some high, high quality. I think his feet were particularly good on the day, especially when the ball's a little bit short. He was onto it very fast, which cut down the time. And, you know, he had some great early backhands line, which really hurt him, especially in the third set when it got a little bit tricky. He came out of one service game from, I think, 15-40 and served very, very well to come out of that game. And I think it was a game that, had he lost it, the third set would have been maybe gone. So in the right moments, he served well as well. He didn't serve particularly well all match, and his percentage of first serve was 52%. But once in some key moments, he had some really good serves that got him out of trouble, which was helpful.
One more before you go. I want to know about Liam on the grass and what makes him maybe a bit more of a threat, for example, compared to the clay. But just talking, accentuating his grass court game, why is it that we've seen in the last 12 months in particular some very impressive performances and results?
I think his backhand is very difficult for people on the grass. Similar to Mannarino, it stays very low and he can take it very early. I think the ability to still get some good height on his forehand and some good lefty spin into the backhand of opponents with better length the last 2 years has really helped. He's also very, very adept at switching to slice if he has to and blocking returns if he has to. So he can get out of trouble with some really awkward slices that he can put back into the court at keep him alive in points where he maybe ought to be out of them. So I think his defensive skills with both two backhand and the slice and the ability to also block the forehand means that it's just very, very hard to you know, hit him off the court.
David, big thanks for you to join us. We can hear some balls being hit and struck with a little bit of venom in the background, which nice adds a bit of color to this interview. So a big thanks to you, David, and good luck, whether it be tomorrow or Friday. Fingers crossed it's tomorrow. Oh, I do have to check one more thing. We still don't know the schedule, do we, yet, for tomorrow?
No, we don't. Officially? No, we don't.
Yeah. I mean, do you know the likelihood of a court at least?
No, because the rain has messed things up so much. I mean, I would have thought court one or three, but right now I feel like it could be even like 2 or 18. It just depends how much they get through today.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, it's starting to, you got blue sky on one side and you got a really heavy gray cloud on the other side. So hopefully it stays dry because they need to get through some matches today. I think if it rains again, there's a decent chance he doesn't play tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're scheduled very late, and I don't know what the weather forecast for tomorrow is like, but
I think it's getting better tomorrow and Friday. The problem is it might return like this on Saturday.
Right. Because the danger is it starts to back things up and having to play maybe a singles and doubles on the same day.
Oh, yeah, right. If you're in the doubles. Yeah, true.
Yeah. Which, I mean, him and Johnny have obviously had a really good run.
Yeah.
Winning Surbiton and finals of Nottingham. And really, they were up a break against Dodik and Krajicek and Eastbourne in the second set.
Ooh.
And had a horrendous call to lose a deuce point. To be 5-3 up against them. So, you know, they're playing some seriously good doubles. So hopefully, you know, he can get a run in both. But it gets difficult when you have to play both on the same day.
Absolutely. I mean, because also don't forget, of course, one is a best of five. It's difficult enough to play two matches on the same day when they're both best of three. But if one is best of five, then it gets even trickier. David, big thanks. And whether it be tomorrow or Friday, good luck.
Thank you. And had he played today, he would have been playing on my birthday. So.
Oh, okay. So when is your birthday? Is your birthday tomorrow then? No. Your birthday's today.
My birthday is today. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, David. Well, happy youngish birthday, David.
Yeah. 62 years young.
62 years young, and fingers crossed, Liam, who may have forgotten to give you a present, bearing in mind sometimes he can be a little bit forgetful. But fingers crossed he doesn't forget to deliver the victory, whether it be tomorrow or Friday.
Yes, that would be the best present for sure.
Indeed. Thanks, David.
Take care. Bye.
Podcast Network.